share with you this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with the 26th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with the 26th verse. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no man, no one, may boast before Him. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your ways are much better than our ways. And we recognize that. Help us all to recognize that. Your ways are the best ways. And You have laid before us a plan of salvation that is total foolishness to those who are not being saved, or those who are not saved. So whoever it may be, we know, Lord, that they can look to You, and this foolishness that they are involved in may dissipate. And so we give You the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, yesterday, or the day before, Marilyn came home with a new tool. And it is a grinder. And so she's planning on sharpening the hose and other things that she needs to have sharpened. And it was a very good purchase, I'd say, for the amount of money that she paid for it. And, of course, everybody has to have some tools in their workshop. Some of you have different kinds of tools than what I have because you're more adept at doing things with your hands than I am. And so on. So we do have a few electric tools in our little workshop, and even a big tool kit, tool chest of some kind, with about five or six different different drawers in it, which I have to search through every drawer, you know, in order to find what I'm looking for. And so we have to have tools. And so, but we look to God this morning, and we look to His tool chest. And He has, in these verses, chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. We realize it. We have an all-sufficient Savior. And we are all called by the Spirit of God to serve Him. And because He's all-powerful and all-knowing, and of course big enough to meet all of our needs, we need to use His tools. His tools. Tools of His own making and tools of His own doing. And His tool chest has every single tool necessary in it for our personal lives and our well-being spiritually and our ministry that we would have as individuals. Because we are all called, just as the disciples were called, to ministry of some kind. And to the world, Jesus' tools look very foolish. His weapons that we use, His tools that we use, the Word of God, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, looks very foolish. His tools, even for some of us, or maybe all of us, who claim Jesus as our personal Savior and Lord, seem at times to us to be foolish.
Still, we realize this, that His ways are wise. And His ways are the best. And we need to always learn and then relearn again and again and remember His ways. His tools are the best. He has a complete tool chest for us. No doubt about it. But God chose on purpose, He chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. The unbelieving scientist, the evolutionist, listening to the television last night about how many billions and millions of years old this world is. And they have concocted kind of a religion around evolution. The psychologists and anyone with brains and logic which can trip them and cause them to stumble, such as the logic of certain atheists as well. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame those who think they're so intellectually superior to any Christian who would like to back up, say, for instance, creation, that this world was created in 6 days, and that this world is only between 6,000 and 10,000 years old. This is the teaching of many of us in the Christian church. These foolish things that they have, these debates that we have about these things, and the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ are going to confound the worldly wise. It seems so foolish to them. And that's their shame. That shame will be seen by them when they arrive at their eternal destiny, which is hell itself. No doubt about it. So always the objective of God's Word is to bring people to repentance of sin. It is to bring people into a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. It is to give them the tools that they need to follow the Holy Spirit in their lives. Well, Jesus, He told the teacher, Nicodemus, that he must be born again. And as learned as Nicodemus was, Nicodemus could not understand what Jesus was talking about. Still later we learn that Nicodemus, he must have become a believer because he was involved in the burial of Jesus together with Joseph of Arimathea. It would seem that both men eventually in their lives accepted the truth of Jesus Christ. They allowed Jesus to come into their lives to save them. One being a teacher, and the other being a rich man. The message of salvation that seems so foolish to the world is through the cross of Jesus Christ. It is through His shed blood on Calvary. And that looks like foolishness until one understands the depth of sin that one is in and the need to repent and to accept what Christ has offered. I think Jesus purposely, God purposely, caused His message to look like foolishness. This is no accident. It is humbling for the world to see their own sins and to repent and to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. The things of the Lord confound the mighty,
The things of the Lord put to shame the scientists, as an example, and governmental officials of all kinds who think somehow this world has come about through evolution. Many there are think it's foolish to believe in a Savior who died on the cross. They do not believe in the resurrection. And the Word of God is just full of fairy tales and stupid values that this world does not have, because the general consensus of the worldly population is today, if you believe one way, we'll just accept that. There is no ultimate choice. Just accept. So if you're with someone who has a particular persuasion that you do not have, and you do not see their persuasion in the Scriptures, you're supposed to just accept it and love everybody. That is the pathway to hell. They stumble on the truth, and they stumble on the simplicity of the gospel, and they are confounded by the things of the Lord, and it is not logical to them. So He chose these lowly things of the world, and the despised things, and the things which are not, to nullify those things that are. And this is important. God chose the things which are not to nullify the things that are. That which we see is less real than that which God offers us in His toolbox. But it is the things of the world that are base. These things are the things of sham. The thinking of the worldly minded is in vain. The Bible tells us that which is not seen, therefore, is more real and lasting than that which is seen. That seems so foolish to the one who is after wealth in this world, who is blaming God or blaming someone or something because his 401k plummeted in recent months and lost thousands of dollars. But God nullifies all that can be seen and makes more real that which cannot be seen. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians says, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. So those things are more real. Love is more real. Joy that we have in Christ is more real. The peace that Jesus gives to us in our lives is more real. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are more real than what anything we can say or see. Because the world really has no wisdom. And all of the world's ways are but a Tower of Babel when compared to all of the glories of salvation through Jesus Christ. So He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things which are not to put to death our thoughts of things that are. Like Jesus was born in a stable to a virgin mother. And when Jesus entered into Jerusalem to that first Sunday, He rode on a donkey and not in a great white horse like a king. Because God's ideas and God's ways are despised and rejected, yet His wisdom is lasting. What makes sense to the true Christian is absolutely total foolishness But it makes sense to you, doesn't it? And to me? Because God gives us, when He calls us, the salvation, a heart of wisdom. And few there are who can understand. Who would have such a plan as to send His only begotten Son to die on the cross? Who would follow such an idea that His death gives forgiveness? Who would follow the idea that His ways are the best ways? How could death, the death of Jesus, give us salvation? But for us who are saved or are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and then the Gentile. So no wonder Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, "For I am resolved to know nothing while I was among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." This is the message. And there needs to be always a decision to follow the Lord and His ways. The Lord did things this way so that He and He alone would get the glory. So all praise to the Lord for His salvation and His ways. And so we invite people to us to come to communion this morning. This sacrament points out to us what Jesus Christ has done for us. The sacrament confirms our faith because this sacrament points to Jesus Christ. And it tells us, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is not foolishness. And we know it. So let us come together today and thank God for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. And if someone thinks it is foolishness that's here or there, we declare to you it absolutely, totally is not foolishness. We come today confessing our sin and repenting of it, knowing that Jesus Christ and His sacrifice is not foolish. And all together we will say, amen. 1, 2, 3. Amen. Oh, that was weak. Amen. Amen. For what we have in Jesus our Lord and our Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank You that this is not foolishness. We have confidence in Your Word as Your Holy Spirit works through that Word and shows us Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we want to praise You for this today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us go to hymn number 188 in the Ambassador Hymn Book. We praise Thee, O God. 188.